Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com. Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome everybody on this very nice Thursday morning in Louisville, Kentucky. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. Michael, how are you this morning?
Good, good. I think it's supposed to be a scorcher today.
Uh-huh. And some
humidity.
And some storms tonight, I think. And then hopefully the humidity at least will die down a little bit.
And the temperature is supposed to be significantly lower tomorrow and over the weekend, which is good. But there's a lot of things to talk about. And a lot of things, but let's look at a couple things I saw online here, a couple quotes, and kind of apropos with the draft tonight. Larry Bird said, there are many times when you are better off practicing than playing, but most people just don't understand that.
Practice? We're talking about practice?
And then Tom Izzo says, if I don't push you, I'm cheating you. You know, that's a coach, man. You can appreciate that.
I agree with both of those statements, but especially the latter one. I mean, that's what a coach is for. A coach isn't supposed to be your buddy. There were a lot of my coaches. I feel a lot nicer and better about them today than I did when I was playing for them. But thankfully, it was because they pushed me to be better. So, this idea that and I think that's why you had over 13,000 people in the transfer portal. There were over 13,000 young men and women who didn't agree with that statement. And so they wanted to find a friend. They didn't want to find a coach.
Isn't that the truth? And I'm going to share a little something about my high school coach, a basketball coach. But we love these guys and tell them how great they are. From 11, 12 years old, E.J. Montgomery, who played at Kentucky, I think if I got the story correct, a nice kid. I got on the elevator one time from the ground floor up after a game with his mom and dad. Nice people, tall, big people, and the kid's 6'10 and skinny. But you could tell he's going to fill out. Nice people, had a nice ride with them and all that kind of good stuff. But the kid was like the number one 12-year-old in the country by Sports Illustrated. I mean, the number one 12-year-old or something like that. And,
I'm going to guess someplace there was another 12-year-old that Sports Illustrated didn't know about.
Absolutely. You just covered my point, Pods. You just covered my point. But anyway, my high school coach played at Ohio State in baseball and basketball. Hmm. And he was a tough bird, man. He was a tough guy. In this day and age, this is unheard of, right? The paddles that you had to string in the ball on, you played, you whacked the ball and kept it alive.
I could never do that.
It was a little bit difficult, but you got to hang up. Well, he cut the string off, and he would keep the paddle in the back, and he would whack your butt. if you made the same mistake twice.
How long do you think he'd be coaching today?
That's what I'm saying. If you made that same
about
mistake.
About a minute and a half after he hit somebody on the bottom with the paddle.
And we all wore our shirts on the outside, typically. And he'd say, pull your shirt up. Oh, coach, we got, you know. Yep, he'd whack you. And it wasn't real hard, but he'd whack you. And you go take a shower after practice and guys walking around black and blue spot on their buns. You know? He got your attention, though.
Yes, he did.
He got your attention.
Yes, he did. So, in two ways, physically and embarrassing you in front of the rest of the team as well. Hey, make sure you didn't get hit again.
Exactly. That was you read it. You read it clearly. So, all right, we missed. What did we call Wednesdays?
Wiley Wednesday.
Wiley Wednesday.
Wiley Wednesday.
I know that.
Were we not too wily yesterday?
We were very wily that we missed it.
We missed it.
But I got one for you, and you too, West Virginia. Chime in here, okay? What is the only state with an official jelly?
It must be.
Now, here's your choices. Maryland?
Oh, no. I don't want any choices.
Okay.
I want to go over it. It must be Wyoming because, remember, they had Jellystone National Park. Boo-boo.
Oh, boo-boo.
Smarter than the average bear.
What about it, West Virginia?
I was going to say Montana. So it's kind of interesting. We're both kind of in the same area.
Those aren't even the choices, are they?
Nope. It's Louisiana.
Louisiana has a state jelly.
A state jelly.
And what would that jelly be, Michael?
It didn't say. It just said, it didn't say.
Well, you can't. I mean, this isn't Wiley Wednesday a day late if you can't come with the answer.
Well, it's Louisiana. The question wasn't what kind of a jelly. It was which state has the jelly.
I looked it up. StateSymbolsUSA.org. What a website. You can learn anything from here. But the two jellies that were officially named State Jellies of Louisiana in 2003 are Maha Jelly and Louisiana Sugarcane Jelly.
Both of which I've had a bunch in my life.
Yeah, I eat that every morning on a bagel.
You think sugar cane jelly is a little on the sweet side? Oh, my goodness.
So this one for you two is pertinent to the Olympics. Michael Phelps, we all know who Michael Phelps is.
Yep.
Michael Phelps won, where did he win the most gold medals in a single, in the single games? Which city, which Olympics did he win his most medals?
Atlanta.
That's one of the options. Atlanta, 1996. Beijing,
ooh,
2008. That might Sydney, 2000. London, 12. What do you think?
Beijing.
Yeah,
I think Beijing.
Okay, let's see here. Yeah, we were right. You know,
You didn't even give an answer. What do you mean we were right?
Hey, this is a team, man. I can't be answering these questions all the time.
We were right.
Oh, Lordy.
You didn't even know what the state jelly was.
No, I didn't.
Louisiana.
Okay, one last one here.
Are we about done with this?
One last one. I get a kick out of these. How did the, quote, dog days of summer get their name?
Because the dogs on a hot summer day would crawl under the front porch to get out of the sun. How'd you like that answer, West Virginia?
I think that I was going to say, I don't even want to answer anymore. That's pretty spot on to me. Are you sure that's not the definition?
It's not. It doesn't have anything to do with the
dogs.
Okay.
Okay.
Then it refers to your astronomical observation, observation made more than 400 years ago, a star at 8.6 light years away from the Earth. That was crazy, wasn't it?
I don't even know what you just said.
Yeah, I like Dan's idea better.
Well, let's just accept that then, okay? So Wiley Wednesdays are over.
Gee,
let's talk some sports.
Let's not forget about that next Wednesday.
Well, I got you to Michael Phelps.
Yeah, well, West Virginia was right. After I blurted out an answer, I thought Beijing was probably the right answer.
All right. Hey, UK came with their basketball schedule, or do we want to talk about the draft first? Yeah, let's talk about the draft because I really enjoyed watching Cade Cunningham play. He knows how to play, okay? And I was reading an article, Dan, about the young fella, and it's pretty consensus that the Pistons will take him at number one.
Yeah, I have not seen any mock drafts that don't have Cade Cunningham going number one.
So I was reading an article. He signed a deal with Nike, okay? And it was for marketing and endorsements and wearing the shoes. And the kid in the article, and I think sometimes we don't listen to these young folks enough to figure out where they're coming from. You know, we perceive them all to be stupid or young or immature, whatever it is you want to use. I don't care. But this kid signed his deal with Nike. He said, I have researched this. He said, I've talked to people. He said, I wanted to make this decision for the best interest of me short term and long term. He said, I want to be involved in my own marketing. He said, I understand the power of that. And he said, I think that by going with Nike, I can do that for the short term and the long term. I mean, it was a very interesting article in that he just laid on the line. Look, nobody made this decision for me. I talked to people. He said, but I made the decision, and here's why.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he would have been the number one pick just on talent alone. But if that kind of maturity and wisdom came across in his interviews with Detroit, now you know why he's a lock to be number one.
I would say he would be hard to trade. 6'8" point guard that seems to have things. And he says, more than anything, they show athletes that are more than just athletes. They really want to put the right message out for people to see. That's important to me. He's building his brand, and he understands how to do it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
well, it looks like tonight, it looks like the first four picks, anyway, are pretty consensus picks with Cunningham going to the Pistons, Green to the Rockets, Mobley to Cleveland, and Jalen Suggs to the Raptors. But after that, you see in different mock drafts, you see different people in different orders. The three kids that really seem to be climbing right now are Scotty Barnes and James, is it Bouknight?
Right,
and,
correct.
And Josh Giddey, the kid from Australia. Those are the ones that seem to be moving up the board a little bit right now.
And I'm not as excited about Scotty Barnes as maybe some others, just because and we talked about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, wonderful guy, played hard, did all those things, but struggled to shoot the ball and struggled in the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a ton of minutes, but just being a defensive guy, Okora from Auburn that went to Cleveland as the number five or six pick, he's the same way. Now, he's playing up at Cleveland, but, I mean, I think he's going to be limited like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist unless he can develop a jump shot. Scotty Barnes, of course, this time of year, everybody says Charles can shoot the jump shot. Just go work with him. Just go work with him. All right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I can shoot the jump shot.
Well,
that's not a joking matter.
Oh, well, did I hurt your pride there?
I didn't.
No, Charles, no. I'll send highlight tape, and then
okay.
I didn't see your name on any of these lists.
But everybody thinks. I mean, this is the beauty of the NBA. It really is, and you know it. You lived it. Everybody thinks they can change the guys who are marginal, team wise, and have some bad habits and whatnot. You can change them.
Yeah,
no, they've been traded. I can change.
Hey, I did it. I did it with a kid from Cincinnati that we traded for the Lakers, Nick Van Exel.
Yep.
You know, I had had some success, bringing kids that were hard to deal with around and having, I mean, my first year as a coach, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Chris Jackson from LSU, went from, you know, hardly playing to being the most improved or sixth man of the year, so whatever that title was. And so, you know, I can change Nick Van Exel. No, sir.
Nick was, I guess the only guy that he really could change him or he would listen to was Hugs, from what I heard.
Yeah.
And Chuck Machock, the late Chuck Machock, who coached for years and then did the radio very close with Hugs, told me that. He said, this kid wouldn't listen to or pay attention to anybody
but
Hugs.
I would phrase it a different way because I love Nick.
Okay.
I saw Nick is an assistant coach with somebody.
Oh, really?
I don't even remember who it was. But I went down, Sherry and I went to the game. And after the game, we went down in the bowels of the what was then Pepsi Center, now called Ball Arena, because I wanted to say hello to him. And Sherry and I walked him from their locker room out to the bus, and he actually got tears in his eyes.
Really?
And said, how about that? And said, I didn't do right when I was with you. And I mean, I love the kid. I'll tell you this. I have said this about Nick Van Exel. If the game's on the line and I've got one kid who ever played for me to take that last shot, and I had some pretty good shooters. I mean, Mahmoud was out there and Nick Van Exel would be there. That kid had, I mean, he had no conscience. He could make it, or if he missed it, well, that's the way it goes. I'll make the next one. But if I had anybody to take that last shot, it'd be Nick Van Exel. But the reason I would put it a different way, Mike, is he had a horrible childhood.
That's what I heard.
Some of the things that young man grew up with, you wouldn't wish on anybody. And as a result of that, he didn't trust anybody. He wouldn't let anybody inside that shell. Now, evidently, he let Huggins, but that might have been the only one, and it wasn't his fault. It was the way that, you know, the way that he spent his youth. I mean, it was terrible. But Nick's a good guy.
I went to Cincinnati a couple times to see him play when I was with the Hornets, I believe. The Hornets, and everybody who saw him for the Hornets liked him, and I think we had two choices. We had a Kendall Gill, and then we had a late first or top of the second, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we tried to get him to come in. He missed the plane twice. We liked him. We probably worked him out, would have taken him.
Yeah. Where did he get picked, Charles? He got picked by the Lakers. Where was it?
It was the second round, 37th overall, 93 draft.
I thought it was the second rounder.
And we thought we could get him. We either had a late first or top of the second because we were a bad team. We would be top of the second. We'd be ahead of the Lakers because they were really good. We thought, when you miss the plane twice, you go like, I got to find somebody else.
You got a problem. Yeah. You got a problem with that. Getting back to this year's draft, some of the local guys, Isaiah Jackson, I've seen anywhere from 18 to Oklahoma City to 23 for the Rockets. But it looks like he's going to be, as you said all along, he's going to be pretty solid pick in that 20 to 22 area, somewhere around that. The other guy, that local guy that's getting a lot of traction, is Charles Basie that played at Western. I've seen drafts where he's late in the first round. Pretty big guy, I understand.
He's got, from what I could tell, I saw him play once on TV, but just, you know, reading about him. He's got quick ups. He's got great length. Now, he's rough offensively. He gets into foul trouble, but they like his athleticism. And I guess he's 6'9". I read where he was taller than Isaiah, but the same type of player, because Isaiah's 6'8", maybe 6'9".
Right.
But he's got, you know, he's got wingspan and all those good things. But this kid, from Western. That yeah, a lot of people really like him, Dan. Yeah. I've had a lot of people call me, not recently because they've all gone underground here for the, the week before the draft, and putting out disinformation, right? But they always ask, did you ever see him play? And I only on television.
Right. Yeah. The real enigma. Question. Yeah. Thank you, Michael. Is in this draft is B.J. Boston.
I can tell you about him.
Well, what was interesting is there was an article this morning in the Lexington Herald Leader, and quoting different people about him, Jay Billis, and a guy, and I know you know who I'm talking about, Marty Blake was NBA.
The guru.
He was the NBA scout. Years ago, anybody who wanted to know anything about any potential draft pick, Marty Blake had the answer. And his son, Ryan Blake, is now in the same job, and I really like him. I don't know him either, but I really like his stuff because he's. He doesn't have a college axe to grind or an NBA. I mean, this is just all straight poop. And so I read this article about Boston this morning, and it quotes Ryan in there and Billis. And what's the guy that does the SEC?
Sean Farnham?
No, the guy that was a coach at Kentucky.
Coach at Kentucky?
Wasn't he an assistant coach at Kentucky?
I don't think so. I don't know who you're talking about. You lost me there, big fella.
I forgot to take my memory.
It's somebody with an opinion.
It's a guy that comes out all the time and makes the game about himself. He came out like Hulk Hogan or one of those guys. Jimmy Dykes.
Oh, Jimmy Dykes. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Jimmy Dyke a coach in Kentucky?
Yeah, he was a graduate assistant under Eddie Sutton. Yeah,
I'm talking, you're looking at me like I got two heads. That ought to have been easy. The guy who does the SEC commentary used to be an assistant coach with the Kentucky. It's not that hard, Mike.
You Linda Ronstadt of me. You blew by you.
Blew by you. Anyway, getting back to B.J. Boston, who is projected to be an early second-round pick. But none of these three guys had anything nice to say about him. As you know, skinny, not going to stick his nose in, very shies away from being physical, has to improve his shooting. But the one quote that I loved was from Ryan Blake, and he said he can be a reluctant defender at times. Is that a great line? Reluctant defender. Translated, he can't guard his own shadow. None of them had anything positive to say, but he's going to be – but they all think he's going to – no, not all. In fact, Ryan Blake thought there was a chance he didn't get drafted at all.
Wow.
But Dykes and Billis both had him early in the second round. And, of course, David Johnson, U of L, kind of the same category. You see his name in some of the drafts.
Yeah, that's late, a shame. That kid stays second. Another year, and it's a different picture for him.
To late second to not being drafted at all. So,
My opinion of Boston is that kid's got skills. Okay, kid has got skills. But what he lacks is that toughness at either end of the floor, because he'll play passing lanes, but he's not going to do much on-ball defense. And Blake's
a reluctant defender.
Yeah, that's probably pretty close. But, I mean, the kid's got skills. He just doesn't play hard, and he's in for a rude awakening when he gets to the next level, how hard you have to play, how physical you have to be, how mentally tough you have to be. I never saw any of that from him. And that's where he needs to grow his game, and he's going to spend time in the G League.
See, and that's why I have a hard time. For the most part, the same people that are in the lottery are the people that are in the top of the second round, and those are teams that need help now.
Yep.
What skill do you have that you can bring to the table now. And so that's why I find it hard to believe that Boston's going to be a high second round. Yeah. I would think more middle to late second round.
I would agree with you. The kid's good in transition. That's where he's best. He's not physical enough on the half court, okay, and doesn't finish through bodies, as they say. That's my phone going off. Oh, well.
Oh, my goodness.
Mike, are we bothering you? Go ahead and take it.
Dan, I wanted to make a point. You were mentioning local guys, yeah, and you failed to mention Miles McBride, and he's from Cincinnati, and that's not too far away.
Okay. And he's a West Virginia. He's a Mountaineer.
He's a projected first rounder, and you know how many first round picks we've had in the history of our program.
Well, the guy you mentioned the other day, he was first rounder, wasn't he?
Javon.
No, he's a second rounder.
Javon.
We've had five.
Can you imagine? I asked West Virginia to name a great player that they've had in the last 20 years, and he gives me a second round draft choice.
You said 10 years. Now, come on. The easy pick would have been Deshaun Butler, but he got hurt.
Yeah,
and okay. So Javon Carter.
All right. How many? West Virginia's had five first-round picks.
Five first-round picks.
In the history of the NBA draft.
That's it. And we've only had one since the 60s, and it was Joe Alexander in 2008. And
That's right. Milwaukee picked him. That's right. Joe Alexander. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of one of those iffy picks. Joe Alexander didn't play. Yeah, you know, he couldn't make it into the rotation. He was outside the rotation.
Right. So. Right. Is that somebody you have to call back? Or?
No. That's spam call. I took care of it.
It's Jody Meeks. Jody Meeks was calling you.
Jody's coming on next week.
Jody Meeks. Now, you told me something this morning when we were talking about Jody that I didn't realize. He did break one of your records.
He did.
The UK scoring record in Freedom Hall.
That's correct.
Was 42?
42.
And you had it against Notre Dame.
Really good Notre Dame team, as you know.
Yeah.
But they were double and triple teaming you, which left me wide open.
so let me.
I was open for a reason, but I did make them. You got to give me credit for making them.
There you go. Absolutely. 42 points was the record, and he broke it. He scored 44?
I think he had 44. Yeah, I think he had 44.
But
yeah,
he had it against Appalachian State.
Correct.
And but he still counted it?
I didn't, but he did.
That Notre Dame team that you had 42 against, that was Sid Catlett and Austin Carr.
Yep.
That was.
They had three pros on that team.
That was a good team.
Yeah. You know, that was a hell of a nice ball club. I mean, it really was. So I was proud of that. I'm still proud of that.
Well, you
man.
Should
yeah,
be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back with Curtis Wilkerson of 247 Sports, Dan, and he's going to tell us about Arkansas, a team that Kentucky only plays once next year, which was shocking to me because Arkansas is going to be really good.
Well, but they do play Alabama home and home, I think.
Yeah, well, you haven't been, obviously, to Arkansas. That is a nasty place to play. Tough place. Oh,
really?
Oh. So you would like to have a return game.
And UK plays there this coming season.
Exactly.
Right?
Wow. Exactly.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Well,
all right.
We'll come back.
One, two, three.
Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome back. This is the second half hour of the first hour of our show. And like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. NMLS 8259, Equal Housing Lender. And we are pleased to welcome in from 247 Sports, Curtis Wilkerson. And he's coming to us on the Kim Crawford Wines Celebrity Hotline. How about that, Dan Issel? Curtis, welcome in.
Hey, the celebrity hotline. Wow, that's big time. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Been looking forward to it.
Well, Curtis, we apologize for the bumper music, Sweet Home Alabama. That was the closest thing we could find to Arkansas.
You know, I didn't even think about it at the time. That's pretty funny.
Hey, Curtis, we want to talk to you about the Arkansas team that's forming up or has formed up for next year. But first of all, let's address this. What was the league thinking when they didn't put Arkansas and Kentucky playing home and home this year?
You know, I was really disappointed to see that. And, you know, honestly, it was funny. Arkansas just hired a new recruiting coordinator, Ronnie Brewer Jr., who everybody remembers him from his playing days as a Razorback, and we were getting ready to start that Zoom press conference, and the sports information director said, "Hey, you know, FYI, guys, we're gonna have the pairings for the SEC schedule. It's gonna be released while we're in the middle of this, so stay tuned for that." And I hopped on immediately and looked because I wanted to see if there was gonna be a home and home with Kentucky, and there wasn't. And I just don't know why that's not a thing every year. Maybe people in Arkansas and people in Kentucky are more excited about the prospects of that than everywhere else in the league. I don't know, but it just seems like, you know, with the history and tradition of the two programs, that they need to be playing twice a year.
Curtis, we have been talking to people around the league, the SEC, and almost to a team. Everybody has told us their team's going to be better than they were last year. Is Arkansas in that same boat?
Well, it's kind of hard to make that prediction coming off an Elite Eight, but you know, if you take a look at the roster, you know, on paper, it appears to be a little bit deeper. They have more guys who are playmakers, who can make plays with the ball in their hands and create offense. You know, a versatile group. Eric Musselman's really big on positionless basketball. And if you take a look up and down the roster and the guys that are going to be in the rotation, it's just one after another, 6'6", 6'7", you know, athletic guys who are switchable defensively, can play a little bit inside out. So it's really, you know, if nothing else, a team that kind of fits the calling card of what Musselman likes to build and the teams that he had the most success with at Nevada. So, you know, I think they're going to be very talented and a team that can compete at the top of the league. You got to have a lot of things go your way to make it to the Elite Eight. We know how the matchups go when you get to the NCAA tournament. So I don't know if I'll go as far as to say that they're going to be better. I think they're going to be really good.
You mentioned Coach Musselman, and he seemed to be a couple of steps ahead of this transfer portal thing. He's really been able to build his teams both in Nevada and at Arkansas by going out and getting transfers rather than, you know, the freshman hotshots each year.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way that they've attacked that transfer portal. And I mentioned the press conference we had yesterday with Ronnie Brewer, who's starting his job as recruiting coordinator. That's one of the things I asked him, you know, just can you talk about the way you guys attack the transfer portal? Because everybody that enters it, it seems like Arkansas is one of the first teams to reach out, whether they're genuinely interested or not, just to feel out the process. And you know, his words directly back to me were, you know what, it's insane. It's crazy the way they attack that thing. And it's a niche that he's developed. And, you know, you take a look at some of the guys last year, you know, you think about a Jalen Tate and a Justin Smith, guys who transferred in for their final year and had such a huge impact on the success of the team. And, you know, what's big now, I think, for Arkansas is you also take a look at what Musselman's been able to do. He's starting to prove himself as a recruiter on the high school level. They had the four-man in-state class in 2020. It ranked, I think, in the top 10 in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. They had three true freshmen starting in the NCAA tournament in Devo Davis, Jalen Williams, and Moses Moody, who's projected to be a lottery pick tonight. So that goes a long way when you can lay that foundation and supplement with the transfers. And, you know, it's something they're working on building the roster with moving forward.
Yeah, I hope Ron Brewer realizes the job he just stepped into, because it looks like to me, Curtis, you're going to have to recruit high school kids, you're going to have to recruit portal kids, and you're going to have to recruit your own kids to keep them from jumping in the portal.
It's so true. I mean, just the dynamic and the landscape of college basketball, it's evolved so much and so quickly. And, you know, the transfer portal was always is just becoming more and more prevalent. And with that new one-time, you know, free transfer waiver, that really opens up the floodgates. And it's true. And he even said, you know, it's a 24-hour-a-day job. You know, if a guy hits the portal at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're going to know everything about him, his front story, his back story, and everything in between right away. And, you know, they leave no stone left unturned. And I think it's a good thing for Arkansas. You mentioned Musselman kind of being a step or two ahead of things when it comes to that portal. I think it's good for them, and maybe they can continue to stay ahead of some things. But, yeah, wild times in the recruiting world, no doubt about it.
Well, Curtis, one last shot at this schedule, and then I've got to ask you about Moses Moody. But Kentucky plays Auburn and Arkansas on the road one time. No return game. And, of course, everybody's got three locked home and homes. But, boy, that's – Dan, I don't think, has ever been to the arena, the Bud Walton Arena.
No,
but
I haven't.
But I was telling him, when they call the Hogs, baby, that place is rocking and rolling. Am I not right?
Yeah, it's 100% true. And, you know, it was unfortunate. You know, everything that happened over the course of the last year with the pandemic and all that was unfortunate. But, you know, having the reduced attendance and everything last year, it was too bad for, you know, an Arkansas team that was probably the best one they've had since the glory days of the 90s, that they weren't able to fill that place up. You know, I think they were at about 4,500 capacity, but it made a difference. And you could hear them and you could feel the energy. And, you know, I think back just to the previous year, and you know, Arkansas was decent that year, but, you know, I'll never forget when Cal and Kentucky came rolling in and, you know, he got ejected from that game. And I don't think I've ever heard, you know, a crowd that was quite that loud. And I can't remember which player it was for Kentucky that was, you know, plugging his ears from the noise, but it's a unique environment and special. And, you know, I think Arkansas is very fortunate to have that. It's a true home court advantage. It really is. And as far as calling the Hogs, I mean, listen, there's some unique chants and calls out there, but that's which is different when you hear that. It's unique. Whether you like it or not, it's unique. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about the players. You're losing Moses Moody. And, you know, he was a terrific part offensively of your team. And what was the guard's name that transferred from Northern Kentucky?
Jalen Tate.
Played really well down the stretch for you guys. I was impressed with how well he played. Is he coming back for a free year?
Yeah, and unfortunately he's moving on. So, yeah, the key guys that they're losing from last year, obviously Moody, who will go in the draft tonight, and then those grad transfers, Jalen Tate, the guy you mentioned from Northern Kentucky that just really did a fantastic job coming in and taking over that point guard position, bringing a lot of leadership. He's moving on. And then Justin Smith, the transfer forward from Indiana, who was just a big piece to the postseason run, is moving on as well. You know, had a couple guys hit the transfer portal, and Desi Sills, who originally committed to Auburn, but then he wound up going back home to Arkansas State. Ethan Henderson, kind of a reserve forward, and he's actually headed to Texas A&M. So those are the departures from last year's team.
Curtis, of course, the big news coming out of the SEC in the last week or so has been, and I believe the SEC's meeting today to talk more about it, is, of course, Texas and Oklahoma asking for an invite into the SEC. Geographically, I guess that would affect Arkansas more than most teams. What's the feeling there in Fayetteville about those two teams joining the SEC?
You know, I think it's kind of shifted over the last few days. I think initially there was a little bit of pause, and, you know, maybe people weren't too excited about the idea. But, you know, the more you think about it, it's just a direction that college athletics is headed with, you know, realignment and conference expansion and things like that. It was really just a matter of time. And, you know, I think it kind of depends on what prism you look at it from, but I view it as Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. I think it's a good thing from Arkansas. You know, their recruiting footprint really is more in Texas and Oklahoma than it is the footprint geographically of the SEC. And, you know, I think if you can expand there and start telling those kids, hey, you can play in Texas twice a year with the Longhorns and A&M as opposed to once, you know, those are good things. And then it just kind of rekindles an old Southwest Conference rivalry with Texas. And, you know, maybe it'll be a year or two before Arkansas can get on the right side of that in football. But, you know, obviously with Chris Beard and what he's doing at Texas with basketball, those are just some really intriguing matchups. And, you know, Oklahoma, on the other hand, they immediately become the closest school, SEC school, to Arkansas. And so it's kind of a natural rivalry that builds there. You know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's only going to make the league stronger, and it's just going to push, you know, the programs at Arkansas to, you know, to kind of be forced to keep up.
Curtis, tell me what you're hearing about this. The commissioner at the media day said, look, if you don't have enough guys to play, talking about football, you know, you just forfeit. There's no second chance. You don't get a do-over. Now, basketball, I'm sure, will be the same. Have you heard anything about that as it relates to basketball?
No, you know, I haven't, but I would imagine, you know, that's going to continue to be the case. And, you know, it was tricky with basketball last year. You know, they built in 1 week after the end of the regular season before the beginning of the conference tournament for the possibility of, you know, games that would need to be rescheduled and things of that nature. But it wound up not being enough. You know, you had certain teams. I think Arkansas wound up one game short of their 18 conference game schedule. You had some teams, you know, Texas A&M, they didn't even play a game the entire month of February, I think it was. And, you know, so you have some teams who played the full 18, some who played a dozen, and it just kind of became a mess. And I have a hard time. I know they're not going to be building in any additional time for that, you know, this season. So if I had to guess, it'll probably be, you know, similar to what they're doing with football, where, hey, you know, if you don't have the horses to show up to the race, you're not going to be allowed to run.
Curtis, you mentioned Moses Moody going in the lottery tonight. A couple of questions. Number one, where are you hearing he's most likely to go? And number two, is he going to be at the draft in Brooklyn? Do you know?
Yeah, he's going to be there. I'll answer your second question first. He's going to be there in Brooklyn. He did get one of 20 players who was invited into the green room there at the draft. So, you know, really, really cool, nice honor for him. You know, as far as where he's going to go, it's a little bit all over the place. You know, Golden State is a really intriguing option to me for a number of reasons. They have a couple picks there in the top 15. And he really fits that system well because it's what they ran at Arkansas. And, you know, if you take a guy like him who's long and athletic and can shoot it and put him around, a bunch of other guys, you think about that roster makeup over at Golden State, that's a pretty intriguing option. And they're a team that could ascend back into the playoff conversation pretty quick. So, you know, I like that. But, you know, other things that you're hearing that are pretty interesting – the Memphis Grizzlies there, I think, at number 10, you know, that would keep them close to home. Oklahoma City, we've heard. And then, you know, some of the other scuttle, Orlando Magic. So, you know, really anywhere there in that 7 to 14, 15 range, I think he's fair game.
Well, they give me two guys that we wouldn't know about because they're new guys one way or the other, either recruits or transfers that are going to really be maybe the straw that stirs the drink for Arkansas this year.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Arkansas really hit the transfer market hard. I think they've made five or six, you know, all season additions out of that portal to kind of supplement what they have returning. And, you know, a couple guys that really strike me right away, they've two big-time transfers out of the ACC, which we know is a strong basketball league. But Chris Likes, the really dynamic, electric, even point guard out of Miami. You know, he's only 5'7", 160 pounds. This is a guy who tested out with a max vertical of 43 inches yesterday. So, you know, he's a really athletic guy. You know, Musselman, after that Baylor game in the Elite Eight, he really made it a point in the offseason to add playmakers, guys who can create their own shot, create their own offense, and create offense for others. You know, Chris Likes is a guy who's a preseason first team All-ACC, so bringing in that type of experience at the point guard position where you're trying to replace Jalen Tate, I think it's huge. He's going to be a big factor. And then another guy out of the ACC that's kind of flown under the radar, but, you know, all indications are through summer workouts, he's been looking really good, is Audis Tonis. He's a 6'6 wing. This is a guy that can play, you know, a little small forward, a little power forward, really athletic, gets out in transition, runs the floor, he defends, he can shoot it. So kind of a jack-of-all-trades, Swiss Army knife type of guy. Transfer out of Pitt, he averaged 14 a game for them last year. And I'll throw in a wild card, too, just to add to that, another grad transfer, Stanley Amude out of South Dakota. You know, this is a guy, he played in the Summit League, so a mid-major conference, but, you know, averaged well over 20 points per game. He was top 10 in the entire country in scoring. So if that's something that can translate to some degree at Arkansas, that's a trio of really tough additions.
Well, Curtis, we appreciate your time and the good background information we have you've given us on Arkansas. And I think that Arkansas-Kentucky will be one hell of a basketball game. And I wouldn't be surprised to see those two teams meet deep in the SEC tournament. So we look forward to catching up with you when the Cats visit Arkansas and we hear the Hogs being called. I want to see you standing up.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they'll frown on that at press row or not. I might not be able to hold in my excitement, though. That's going to be a fun game, and looking forward to it. Would love to join you guys again and appreciate your time today.
Curtis, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and go Hogs.
Who pick? I appreciate it.
Well,
how about some background information? He told us all about the comings and goings.
And like almost every other representative of an SEC school we've talked to, they're going to be really good this year. I'm really looking forward to the SEC basketball schedule. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It looks like, I mean, he's talking about guys I never heard of. A guy from the average 20. I mean, I
South
know
South Dakota
yeah,
State.
I know it's a small school, but 20 points a game is 20 points a game. So, and I'm sure he's going to be one coming off the bench. So this SEC schedule this year in basketball is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And what I'm looking forward to, Dan, is that the teams that ended up at the top of the SEC last year shot the tray well. They utilized the tray in transition or on the half court. And that's where the game is going. Now, Kentucky struggled shooting the ball, but I think they've bolstered their shooters
for sure
this year.
Yeah.
But the rest of the league, I mean, it's going to become a transition three-point shooting league. Should be fun to watch. You know, I just think the SEC tournament and the regular season, but the tournament itself, it's going to be a knockdown, drag them out. Is there too many good teams that somebody could be hurt by the depth of the league when it comes
not
to the
getting
NCAA
into the
time?
Tournament? That's a great point. That's a great point. But I think the NCAA has done a pretty good job of being able to look through maybe a record that isn't outstanding and see that it's a really good basketball team. But it could happen. I mean, there could be a really good team because there's so many great teams in the SEC. There could be a really good team that kind of falls through the cracks.
I think we've got to give credit to the late Mike Slive, the commissioner, that a few years ago he called all the coaches in, the ADs in, and sat them down and said, look, we've got to change the way we're doing this for our basketball side, not the football, but the basketball side. We're going to have to schedule better. We're going to have to go on the road and play some people. We're going to have to recruit better. And you ADs, you know, you need to hire better coaches.
Really?
Yeah, no, he had a meeting.
That happened?
Yeah, he had a meeting, separately ADs and coaches, yeah. He called them together and said, look, you know, we got to change this thing.
Now, he didn't, in front of the coaches, he didn't tell the ADs.
Two separate meetings.
I got, somebody got the message because in addition to the talent really improving in the SEC over the last 5 or so years, so has the coaching. This isn't just a football league anymore. And I know with Texas and Oklahoma possibly coming in, everybody's looking at it from the football standpoint. But the SEC, last year it was the Big Ten. And, of course, once it got to tournament, that domination by the Big Ten didn't exactly play out. So we'll have to see if that happens. But I can't imagine there being too many conferences across the country that are going to have better basketball matchups than the SEC.
And I think if you, as the schedules start to come out, I think Sly's point was, Commissioner Sly, the late Commissioner Sly, look, you're going to have to take your show on the road. You know, Mississippi State, Mississippi, you can't just be playing directional schools at your place. You're going to have to go on the road and play mid-majors or Power Five, whatever. You're going to have to play Clemson home and home, okay, whoever it is. And I'm sure a lot of coaches didn't like that because they like to build their record.
But, Mike, that's a great point. Why not? You just said it. They like to build a record. I get that. But you can't tell me that maybe with a team that's made up primarily of freshmen, underclassmen, maybe it does help to play a team and beat them by 50 points. But if you've got a veteran team, which most of the SEC schools have now because of the transfer portal, if you have a veteran team, you're not going to get better beating Utah Valley State by 50 points.
South Dakota State.
I don't understand. That's what I don't know. Now, there's enough really good schools sprinkled in Kentucky's schedule to see what happens against them. But I don't understand why, especially your home non-conference schedule, that you got to have these turkeys come in there that you can beat by 30 points.
One-shot deal. You pay them $90,000. They come
in. Oh, I understand why they come. I get that. My question is, why are you inviting them?
Yeah, you don't get why you're feeding the turkeys, right? And that's what you're doing. You're feeding them with $90,000 minimum.
Speaking of feeding, let me tell you about my friends at my favorite pizza place, and that's Bear Nose Pizza. Of course, tonight we're having a draft party down at Bear Nose by the Bridge. George Timmering is hosting, and you have to be a member of the Ambassador Club for NBA to Lou to get in, but you can go to the website, join the club, and join us tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. There are 13 area locations in Kentucky, Anna. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose are now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
Be a part of the show on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
It's baseball season. No matter.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.